case has waived oral argument, so we will hear from the Commonwealth. And given that you have your time, I'm not going to ask you if you want to rebut yourself.
I'll rebut yourself, yeah.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Chris Obenching representing the Commonwealth in this matter. In this appeal from a conviction for intentional destruction of property, the question before this Court is, was there sufficient evidence in the record to support the trial court's finding that Mr. Ruffin's actions were intentional? The Commonwealth respectfully asks this Court to find that the evidence was sufficient and to affirm the conviction. First of all, the trial court found that Ruffin's actions were intentional, specifically ruling on page 72 of the appendix that Ruffin's conduct was both deliberate and willful. Both of these terms are synonymous with intentional, and the appellant, Mr. Ruffin, attempts to analogize his case to the case of Scott v. Commonwealth, where this court reversed a conviction under the same statute. And the trial court in that case had found that the conduct was not intentional but was criminally negligent. And this case is distinguishable from Scott because the trial court here does not find criminal negligence but instead finds that Mr. Ruffin's conduct was, in fact, intentional.
As my question, I was getting ready to ask, how would you distinguish Scott?
You're welcome, Your Honor. I would analogize this case much more closely with Knight v. Commonwealth as opposed to Scott. Knight was a similar case of destruction of property where an individual was driving at excessive speeds, going around cars, weaving in and out of traffic, and ultimately hit another car, causing significant damage. Very similar facts to the facts here in Mr. Ruffin's case. And so I think the Knight case is much more instructive than the Scott case here, and as a result, Mr. Ruffin, the evidence was sufficient to support the trial court's finding that Mr. Ruffin's conduct was intentional.
So what you're saying is that the trial court made this finding that there was intent. There's evidence to support it, and it's not our position to overrule that fact.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's the Commonwealth's position in this case. The facts, certainly one distinguishing factor between this case and the Knight case, in the Knight case, the trial court indicated there was no evidence that about intentionality or what the driver's intent was. In this case, there was testimony from Mr. Ruffin that he didn't intend to cause the damage. However, there was other evidence, and certainly upon appellate review, the facts are viewed in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth.
You go back to the old adage, a person intends the natural and probable consequences of his acts. And so, and the cases also talk about intent being a very difficult thing to prove is what's in a person's mind. And so we look at the circumstances and consequences suggest that. Let me back up to something you said, Mr. Obenching, because I find it interesting. Does your argument, when it talks about the necessary differences between intentional and unintentional acts and what you need to find to support an intentional act, sort of suggest that the defendant in this case actually preserved his argument on this issue? Because it appears from the discussion the trial court had, the analysis that the trial court went through, that the trial court had an opportunity to rule on the precise issue that's being brought before this court. You think those arguments sort of are counterintuitive, that we actually do have enough to put the matter before the court?
Your Honor, the Commonwealth's position is that the argument was preserved. The appellant in this matter asked the court on brief to go to the ends of justice and invoke 5A18.
Would it be fair to say that's a concession by the Commonwealth in this case?
The Commonwealth would concede that the matter was preserved. I think if we look at the record, the appellant argued to the trial court and placed this issue squarely before the trial court as to whether there was enough evidence to prove his intent. I think the court,
had a fair opportunity to consider what everyone was talking about.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I appreciate that.
I think the record reflects that, even though the appellant conceded on their brief that that potentially the matter was not preserved. The Commonwealth's position is that it was fairly preserved. But I think if we just look at the evidence that supported the trial court's ruling, there was clearly enough evidence for the trial court to reach its finding that Mr. Ruffin's conduct was intentional. Mr. Ruffin drove out of the driveway at a high rate of speed.
Revved up his engine, said or yelled something, and then was involved in the accident.
That's correct. And in addition, when he drove into the roundabout, the testimony of one of the witnesses involved in the accident was that Mr. Ruffin drove around his vehicle as he was yielding to the roundabout, drove around his vehicle into an oncoming lane of traffic, and then straight into the median through the roundabout, and then hit the ambulance. And so those facts, the testimony of the witnesses called by the Commonwealth, contradicts Mr. Ruffin's testimony in a number of ways. Mr. Ruffin testified he wasn't driving too fast for the circumstances. He testified that he tried to go left and then right, whereas the witnesses testified he went straight through the median. And so I think if we look at the evidence in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, there was certainly enough to support the trial court's finding. In addition, you have the testimony of the girlfriend who was asked, did you think he intentionally wrecked the vehicle or something to that effect? And she says, yes, at the time of the accident, I thought he did it intentionally. She followed that up by saying, now I don't think he did it intentionally. But when she was asked her feeling at the time of the accident, she said, I thought he did it intentionally. And I think certainly.
It's a powerful drug. Make you do and say things that you don't really mean and don't really think you mean.
That is true, Your Honor, and I think the trial court...
I got you off your game by saying that.
The trial court certainly considered the testimony of the girlfriend, could have, you know, believed that Mr. Ruffin's testimony was that he was lying in his testimony to avoid admitting his guilt. And for those reasons, I think the evidence in this matter is sufficient. We ask the court to affirm the trial court's ruling.
All right. Any further questions for Mr. Obenchain? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will greet counsel, and then we will take up the